And I guess every preacher in the house has probably preached on this text somewhere or another. But I feel like it's what the Lord wants for the hour this morning. Elisha chapter number six, or 2 Kings chapter number six, the story of Elisha who recovers the lost axe head. You've all heard lessons and messages on it, but let's read and see what the Word of God has to say, and then we'll go from there. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he shewed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. If you would, pray with me and for me this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning, Father, and I understand I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, and I'm unable to do what needs doing today, but you are our enabler and our sufficiency. And God, please just help us. Just help us today to say what you want said, and Father, to say it the way you want it said, and to do a work in the hearts and lives of your people. Have your way now. Be glorified and honored. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your blessings of life. And now, if there's anything that would hinder the work that you want to do, I ask you to refrain it for a few minutes and just work in our hearts. We'll thank you. Let something be said that might speak to that soul nearest to hell. We'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen. All right. I want to talk to you for just a little bit about the sons of the prophet. And if you were to look, there's three instances about the sons of the prophets. One is where the son of the prophet dies and his wife has got the creditors coming, and of course she fills the oil barrel up, and that's in chapter number 4. You'll see that. He leaves a wife and some children in heavy debt, and so the Lord intervenes when he is off the scene. And then we see that in chapter number 4 also, we see where Elisha comes again to Gilgal. And there's a dearth in the land, and they go out to gather some greens, I guess it would be, and they put it in the pot, and they cook it up, and it's poison. And Elisha, he heals the pot. The funny thing that jumps out at me is some of these problems occur when the man of God's present. He doesn't seem to realize it. Elisha, in the death in the pot, somebody had to say, "There's death in the pot," and he just didn't realize it. And we come over here to chapter number 6, and somebody has to identify the problem to him. He doesn't realize it in our text. And so, as we come to this text in chapter number 6, we're going to see that there's been two or three occurrences, or two or three passages of the Scriptures dealing with the sons of the prophet. Now, the idea is, and I tend to believe this, I studied on it for some time, or at one time I studied on it for a while, that the sons of the prophets were a group of preachers, and whether it was a preacher school or whatever you want to call it, they were gathered up and getting some instructions and learning. And as we come to this text, we're going to see another problem. It's not death in the pot. It's not one of the widows who's in debt. But when we come to this particular place, we see the place is just too straight. The man comes to Elisha, one of the sons of the prophets come to Elisha. In verse 1 he says this, the place where we dwell, it's just too straight for us. Here's what he's saying, we just don't have enough room. And that seems to be a problem sometimes for God's people. My mind when I read this, it went back to Abraham and Lot. They just didn't seem to be enough room for them. They need a little more room. And that's kind of where we're at in this particular passage. And sometimes that's so. Now, I know we live in a pragmatic world. We live in a world that bigger's better. If you have 500 member church, you've got a better church than somebody's got 50 members. And we know that because God's blessing with 500. Well, the fact of the matter is, they may have compromised to get 500. Numbers doesn't mean the blessings of God necessarily. And so, but there are times God does bless, and God's hand is in the work, and God is doing something, and He allows for growth. And I think that's what's happening here with Elisha. Elisha, this good man of God, he has the power of God on him, and the sons of the prophet, they were there when the mantle fell on him, and they know he's Elijah's replacement. And I think, and he asked for that double portion, and I think God's just blessing the work. I believe it's beginning to grow, and we see that with the growth comes problems. And that's really where I'm headed at today. I hope I can get there. I'm headed to this thing of problems in Christian service. Fact of the matter is, you're not going to do anything for the Lord without problems along the way. I mean, that's just how it is. It just works that way. You say, well, we feel impressed. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Well, just look out. There's going to be a few problems along the way. I mean, that's if we're in the fight, we're going to face some problems. And that's really what we're going to look at here for just a few minutes. But here they are. My things are looking good. I mean, we're expanding, we're growing, we have a need, and my, we've got a plan, and we're going to work it out, and everything's going good, but all of a sudden problems are going to come. And my, isn't that how life is? Isn't that how the Christian life is, my dear brother? I mean, you just go along life's way, and you think, man, you're on track, it's going good, we've got it where... But you know, Job said it right, didn't he? Man that's born to woman's a few days full of troubles. And problems come. And so that's the gist of what's going on this morning. And so here they are, they've got a need, a physical need, and they need to expand. By the way, we could call it a little building program. With every building program, I think it gets the attention of the devil. And if you're not real careful, he'll try to upset and uproot everything. You've seen it time and time again. Little church goes through an expansion. Before you know it, the big blow up, they split up and go every which way. And you have nothing but confusion and a mess on your hands. Well, here they are. They're getting ready to expand. And really there was a problem. And Elisha didn't say it. I always wonder why Elisha didn't say, hey fellas, you all are just too cramped. Y'all just too tight. I've been watching you all, and I'm the teacher, I'm the instructor, I guess he was. And I just looked at it, but no, that wasn't it. Somebody had to come to the man of God and say, hey, we've got a problem. I want to say to you, there's nothing wrong with coming to the man of God and said, hey, there may be a problem here. I don't want this something all the time, but I'm talking about sometimes there may be a real problem and I'm just not aware of it. And if you care anything about the church and the work of God, y'all let the man of God know. Amen. I'm telling you right. Now listen, I don't know anything. I don't know any problems looming under the surface or on the horizon. I'm just preaching what God gave me. And so here he was, and he comes to the man of God, and he says, "Behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight, too narrow, too cramped, too caught up for us." You see, Elijah didn't realize it had to be brought to his attention. And you know, I like this. They sought the okay of the man of God. And I've preached this since I've been here. I'm a firm believer in pastoral authority. And not because I'm the pastor, because that's the way God set it up. I mean, that's just the way God set this thing up. It's just, it's how it is. Whether it's me or the next man or the next man, whoever it is, you work with and through the pastor. That's how you do it. Well, I'm just giving you some little truths here. They sought the okay from the man of God. And the problem was present tense. Behold now. Behold now. Right now. I mean, this wasn't something, he wasn't just fabricating something that might happen or what if or could be. But I mean, right now, this situation, they were just too tied up. The problem was present tense. And so the problem was theirs and not Elisha's. You don't see Elisha saying, "Well, I'm too cramped." No, it was their problem. And I say this to you, dear child of God, sometimes your problems, if you'll take them to the man of God, he'll be able to help you some way or another. That's what he done. He went to the man of God. The man of God was able to help him with his problem. The problem was a dwelling problem. A dwelling problem with the man of God. My, that's a problem we have a lot today, isn't it? It's easy to have fellowship with the man of God, but when you're dwelling with the man of God, sometimes that gets to be a problem when you're going to stay with him. They desired that, though. They wanted to stay. They didn't say, "Now here's what we'll do. We'll move down there and you stay up here. And we'll just keep our distance. We'll kind of get together every now and then." No, that wasn't. They said, "Hey, we want to be where God's man is. We want to be where God's working. We want to be where the power of God's at work." Wow, that's a good desire for the people of God. It really is. They desire to dwell with the man of God. I'll get to these problems here in just a minute. But then we see this, there was the realization of the problem. Now there's a lot of problems out there and nobody's figured out it's a problem just yet. They just hadn't figured that out. And if you're ever going to solve a problem, somebody has to realize it is a problem. Until it's realized that there's a problem, it's never going to be, nobody's going to be interested in solving it. Now we could talk about a lot of problems. We might say in our church, "Well, we just don't have enough of a burden for lost souls." But if you don't realize that, it's not a problem to you. That has to be a realization. We might say in our church, "Well, we're just not where we ought to be with the Lord." Well, until you realize that, you're not going to do anything about it. You're not even going to think about doing anything about it. There has to be some realization. There has to be a move of the Holy Spirit of God to open your eyes and show you what needs to be done in your life. And many times we have problems, don't even know we have problems. I've experienced that with a car. I took a car to the shop one time, found out I had problems I didn't even know I had. But when I realized I had a problem, I was interested in getting it corrected. I want to ask you, do you have any problems this morning? Has the Holy Spirit showed you any problems in your life? Well, here was a son of the prophet. He realized he had a problem. And so he's interested in solving. He realizes it, and then he gets an interest in solving that problem. I wonder if you're interested in solving any problems this morning. I'm just asking. I don't even know. I don't know. I know some of your problems. I know some of your troubles, but I don't know of anything that really you need to solve in your life. But the Holy Spirit might. Are you interested? You have something in your life that really ain't what it ought to be, and the Holy Spirit's put His finger on it. And now there's a little bit of interest in solving that. Well, that's where we're at in this text. That's what this text is about. Here's a man, he's got a problem, he's wanting to do something about it. It's a spiritual problem because if he goes the wrong way, he's going to be separated from the man of God and the work of God. And so he don't want to get messed up there. He wants to be right spiritually, but he's interested in solving his problem. Now, do you have any problems that need solving? Now, it's not enough just to know you have a problem, but there's got to be an interest in solving it. I've learned this. One thing I've learned, you can't help people that don't want to help themselves. That's right. I've learned that. I don't know much, but I know that much. And when somebody don't want any help, they're content, they're satisfied where they're at, there's not much you can do for them. But if they ever see that they have a problem, if they ever realize, I've got a problem and I need to do something about it, there's somebody you can help. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why it's essential the Holy Spirit be in this church working in hearts. That's why we have to have the Holy Spirit conviction. That's what's missing. That's why we can come in, sit on the pew, and I can preach to you, and we can walk out the door like we come in, and we can come in again and do it again and again and again. We need the Spirit of God moving in our lives. You know that's right. Oh my, we've got to have that. We've got to have Holy Ghost conviction. And until it comes in the believer's life as well as the sinner, we're not going to see much. I'm telling you right. Well, here he is. He's got a problem. He realizes it. He's interested in solving it. And so he goes to the man of God. And I want you to notice this. He's thought about it. He's thought about this thing for a minute. He's got a plan. He didn't just go say, preacher, what are you going to do? Preacher, here it is. It's falling apart. What are you going to do? No, he said, hey, here's a problem. Here's what I think we might want to do. He wasn't trying to boss Elisha around. But here's what he's saying. Let us go. I'm going to tell you half the problem of the Christian church is we're not going like we ought to. Start in Genesis and go to Revelations. The whole thing, go and tell. Go and tell. What did God do when Adam fell? He went to him. Isn't that right? What's that 144,000 going to do over there in the Revelation? They're going to go and tell. Isn't that right? I mean, from Genesis to Revelations and everywhere in between, it's go and tell. It's not crawl up inside four church walls. It's not hide herself out. It's not that, but it's go and tell a lost world about Jesus. Amen. Well, here he is. And the first thing he says in this solution, we need to go. Now, I know it wasn't going and telling, but it involved going. And when believers get stationary, immobile, whatever word you want to use, they ought to be a red flag in their life. Something's not exactly right. It's right. Something's not exactly right. And so he had a plan. It was his plan. But it was okayed by the leadership. That's right. It's okay. The plan involved felling trees. You remember what Psalms chapter 1 says? He shall be like a what? A tree. Planted by the rivers. What is it? Rivers of water? Be like a tree. Men. He healed a fellow one day and said, what do you see? I see men like trees. Many times the Word of God, men are reckoned to trees. And so, his solution was to fell some trees. Let us go, we pray thee unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Now the problem's been realized, and the plan has been presented, if I can say it that way. But now the man of God said, okay, let's go. I mean, we're going to go. But then we see some problems. And you commit in your heart to serve God, whatever area God's dealing with you in, you commit to go down that path, to doing what God wants you to do. And there are going to be some problems. Get ready for it. And I want to look at some of these problems for just a few minutes. Number one, I want to say at first, the man of God didn't have a vision for the problem. Some of you got problems I don't know anything about. I'm comfortable with that. We're private people, isn't that right? Don't we like to just crawl in our cave and pull the door down and dare anybody to knock? Isn't that kind of where we are? Half the time we have the blinds pulled and closed up. We live in a private world. That's right. You stay off my property, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. That's the word. That wasn't how it was when I was a boy. When I was a boy, folks would visit and they'd go see one another. Look at you, call somebody now, and they don't even want you to come around. I'm telling you, we live in a private world, and you have private problems, but oh, it's a good day if you'll let the man of God help you with them problems. Well, here he was. He had a problem, but the man of God didn't know him. If the man of God doesn't know it, it's a problem for you. Amen. Well, here he is. And so he comes to the man of God. That's the first problem he had. The second problem, I guess his primary problem really was, is his dwelling place. He was dwelling in a place that wasn't suitable for him. Where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling? Spiritually, where are you at? Where are you living at spiritually? Are you in complete obedience? Partial obedience? Living in your comfort zone? Where are you at? That's all I'm asking you today. Where's your dwelling place? Is it caving in on you? Is it a little bit too tight? Is it uncomfortable, spiritually speaking? Do you know you're not where you ought to be? Do you know, friend, something needs to be done about your spiritual dwelling? I'm saying to you, this fella had a dwelling problem. And a lot of God's people have dwelling problems. They need to get where God wants them to be instead of where they want to be. Amen. That wasn't the case with him. He wanted to move. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're not where God wants you to and your heart's right, you'll want to make a change. That's right. I'm just giving you what God gave me. What He gave me. Yeah, I was going to finish up on 1 Timothy. I had that in my mind, may do it tonight. But here's what I'm saying, there's some problems. He was where he wasn't supposed to be. He was where he needed to be somewhere else. And so, we see there was a problem. Behold, now the place where we dwell, these two straight, let us go, we pray thee unto Jordan. Now listen at this. And take thence every man a beam. Now maybe there's something there, but I've read that thing repeatedly. And this little trip down to Jordan, I guess they're still in Gilgal. That's where they're at in the last part of chapter 4. And there's a little distance there. It ain't too far. But can you imagine what it'd be like carrying a beam from Gilgal to Jordan? Don't seem like that's... I'll tell you what I think. I think it was a good plan, but it had a few flaws in it. I think there's a few little flaws there. I don't know. One fella said this, that was just carrying some framing lumber down there. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But I know this. I don't see how these preachers could carry beams very far without having some problems to it. And so what I see in that, what the Lord showed me, it was a good plan, but there's a few little things had to be tweaked along the way. And here's what happens when you launch out into work for the Lord. You may have in your mind what you think God wants, but every now and then you might have to make a little adjustment. It don't always go exactly how you think it is. You have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and let Him adjust when adjustment needs made. That's right. I'm telling you right. And I've seen it repeatedly. We went to prison work and I had in my mind just exactly. Said I had just exactly in my mind what needs to be done. And fact of the matter is, we've had to do it a little different. We're still going, still doing the work, but we've had to make some adjustments. And so we see in this, there was a problem with the plan. It was good, 90% good, but it had to make adjustment or two. And so the plan needed a little modification. But then they didn't have the assets to do what needed doing. They're going to need an axe if they're going to fell trees. One of these fellows, he didn't have an axe. He had some problems. He didn't have the tools to get the job accomplished. But can I tell you, he had a friend that could help him. And you know that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Really what the axe handle is the type of the Word of God and the axe head the type of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, that'll help you get the job done. And the Lord's loaned that to us. He's loaned that to us. It's His. Hey, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's right. And He's give us the Word of God and the Holy Spirit within to fell trees and build a house for His glory and His honor. And so we see He didn't have that. And I just want to stop right here and say this. If you don't have the Spirit of God helping you do whatever God wants you to do, you're beating your head against the wall. You say whatever you want, I don't care how talented you are, I don't care what ability, I don't care how much faith, how much assurance you have and what you're doing, that it's what God wants. If the Spirit of God, you listen to this preacher, if the Spirit of God does not do what needs doing, it won't get done. I'm telling you right. You know it's right. We go out on visitation, the only hope we have, some way the Spirit of God do it work. I mean, it's like pouring water on the duck's back. We just have to pray that He'll take some of that little, those tracks we leave behind or something we might say and just do a work. I'm up here preaching to you. I could preach to 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. If the Spirit of God doesn't do a work in your heart, I'd be just as well off out there beating my head against the side of the church building. You know I'm telling you right. You know it's so. You know that's how it is. Oh my, here's a fella. He couldn't get it done. He didn't have the tools. He didn't have the assets. He didn't have the ability. But he borrowed from a friend. And my, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to help us do the work of God. Oh my. And so he didn't have the tools. And when you're starting to work, if you're planning on it being you that does it, you better back up and refigure. You better refigure. But then I want you to notice things got loose and he didn't realize it. Things were loose. I meant to bring an axe with a loose head on it and just show you that. But here it was loose. And some of y'all that's worked, what we used to do, when I was a boy, my dad drive nails. If it got loose, he'd drive nails in the top of it, down in the head of that handle, spread it out. And sometimes it'd bust out anyways over time, and you wouldn't know it. There's been a few times, just the mercy of God kept somebody from getting killed. That thing would come off the handle, and And he'd just say, be careful. I mean, that's his instructions with him. But we didn't know. We knew at one time it's loose, but we didn't know that thing's about ready to come off. And sometimes you could see it, you'd catch it, and it'd be slipped up about like that. You'd peck it back down. And you knew it's a little loose end, and you might drive another nail in it to try to tighten it up. But here was a fellow, and he didn't realize things were getting loose. And can I tell you what's wrong with God's people today? Things are way too loose. It's way too loose. Now, I understand that looseness was between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. My, those two go hand in hand. We're living way too loose today. That's right. You know that. Here's what we do. We've made ourselves at home in this world. I'm telling you right. We're not a pilgrim and stranger. We're a resident of this world. We've drove our tent stakes too deep. That's right. We've made ourselves comfortable. We've got our fine homes. We've got our fine automobiles. We maintain those fine things. We're caught up in keeping the grass cut, the cars washed, the cars maintained. Sure, you ought to take care of what God's give you. I'm not against that. But when things control our life, we're living way too loose. Amen, amen. You know I'm telling you right. Looseness. Looseness in doctrine. Looseness in holiness. I could go on and on talking about looseness. We're half in and half out. We can't tell the world from a child of God. I'm saying something's wrong somewhere. You know it's right. Something's wrong somewhere. And God's people don't see the problem. Oh my. We see a looseness. Hey, they're trying to go on for God. Hey, these are preachers. These aren't carnality believers. These are men of God. Hey, that's where it starts at. The problem starts in the pulpits first. Then it goes to the pews. That's right. You say, well, it's the preachers. Well, I guess it is. I guess it is. If you don't like what I preach, just go down the road and they'll preach what you want to hear. We've had them do it. We've had them do it. They don't like it. They get in their car, drive down the road, and they find somebody that says, well, that's okay. You know what that is? That's looseness. That's looseness in the pulpit with doctrine, with godliness. Oh my, with consecration and commitment. Things were loose. Now I want you to notice what happens when things get loose. You lose your cutting edge. That's what happens. Here's what happened. He's unaware of the loose axe head. He lost his cutting edge. See, what we're to do is to take the Word of God with the Holy Spirit and put our effort behind it and conquer men for the glory of God. That's what we do. That's what you do. If the Word of God don't get them, nothing else will. Nothing else will. You know yourself. We've tried to be friendly to people, to get them to get right with God. That won't work. You ought to be friendly with people. It's the right thing to do. Being friendly. We've had folks on our band routes that we have helped their mamas and daddies to try to win favor. They didn't win favor. In fact, they had disdain for us after that. They liked us less after that. I don't know why. I don't understand the psychology of that, but that's where it was. You can't win people with money. You can't win people really with friendliness. The only thing that's going to touch an old sinner's heart is the Word of God under the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know I'm telling you right tonight. You know that's right. Oh, my. And when you get loose, you're going to lose. You're going to quench and grieve the Holy Ghost and lose your cutting edge. And we're beating against trees with an axe handle, making a lot of noise and skinning the bark, but we ain't dropping any trees. That's right. You know yourself, we can have sinners come in here, sit in our pews, walk out the door and say this to me. It's been good to be here. A sinner can say it's been good to be where should be where the convicting power of God's at. You know what they ought to say is, man, I won't go back there. Man, that was a struggle. They sitting there eating at me. I was uncomfortable there. When sinners get around God, they'll be uncomfortable. Something wrong. You reckon maybe? I'm begging God for convicting power of the Holy Ghost to settle in our place. And it's going to have to start with God's people first. There ain't no doubt about it in my mind. If God's people are not right, don't expect sinners to get right. Don't expect them. And I'm afraid we live way too loose. We're living a lot better in the world. We measure ourselves against the world. We measure ourselves against the associational crowd. We measure ourselves against this and we're doing good. But we're living too loose prior to the Word of God. He had a problem. Axe head was loose. Fact of the matter is, you'll never cut down a tree for the glory of God without a good cutting edge. So here he was. He couldn't accomplish the work. He swung, and because of the looseness, the axe head went in the water. And I thought about this. I still ain't. Maybe some of you thought about it and give me a little help. Why was he didn't just jump in, swim to the bottom and get it? I don't know. I mean, you say, well, it's too deep. I get maybe it's too much. I don't know, but he took a lash over and said, right there's where it fell in at. He knew where it went in at. I don't know why he didn't jump in. I mean, if I'd been as upset as this guy seemed like he was over losing his cutting edge, I believe I'd jumped in the water after. Maybe he couldn't swim. I don't know. But what he done, he thought the man of God might could do something special, and he did. He went and told the man of God, I've lost my cutting edge. Now, he could have been proud. Think what he could have done. He could have said, now I've got reason to quit. Now I've got a reason not to work anymore. He could have said this, I'll just hit this old tree with this axe handle and make a lot of noise. They'll think I'm working. He could have done that. But here's what he done. He realized he had a problem. He realized he had a problem. And he wanted to solve the problem. That's so important. He desired to solve the problem. Went to the man of God and he said, hey, here's my problem. Let's see what happens. Verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I mean, this was given to me by somebody. A good close friend, I'd like to think of it as. But here he is, he's got a problem. And notice what the man of God said. He wanted the details. Sometimes the man of God can't help because he don't know the details. Sometimes people just give you enough details to get the answer they want to hear. That's right, isn't it? And here's what he said. He said, where fell it? Where'd it go in at? Right there. I don't know. I don't know if it... I thought maybe it's such rushing water. Maybe the water's so rushing that he's afraid to... I don't know what it was. But he needed some information. He told him, he said, it's borrowed. I'm indebted. I have an obligation to make good use of this axe handle and axe head. But now I'm idle. I'm not doing anything. Can I tell you, you may be as busy as you can be, but if it's the Holy Spirit not working through you, you're idle. You're out of business. You're just out of business. And here's what the man of God, you think about all what he could have done. I think about that. So, I mean, what you could have done, maybe... I know they used nets to fish with. Maybe could have scraped the net across the bottom. Sent somebody in just to see if they could have failed it. But that's not what he did. He threw a stick in the water. That's a picture of the cross. That's a picture of the cross. That's a picture of Jesus. That's getting back in focus on what's really important. That's what he did. He put a stick in the water. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we go to Calvary, we get focused on Calvary. My seem like all I've done in a good while is just preach to the church. I'm going to tell you, if we never get to the place where the Holy Spirit lets us just start focusing on Calvary, what Jesus did, and the Holy Spirit, and what we have in Him because of Calvary, and we get focused on that, can I tell you what will happen? Miraculously. You know, he could. Fact of the matter is, he couldn't get his cutting edge back by himself. He couldn't do it. If he was going to get back to being productive, a miracle had to happen. Do you know that's so in your life? When you grieve and quench and resist and do despite to the Holy Ghost, can I tell you, it's going to take a work of God to get you back where you're supposed to be. It takes the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I'm more convinced now than I ever have been, this thing, we've got to have God. We've got to have God. Church, we have to have God. It'll be us. We're going to see our lost loved ones saved. God has got to be with us and doing a work in the hearts and lives of men and women. No other way. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a move of God. But can I tell you what happened? He threw that stick in the water. And you won't believe. Well, you will believe it. You know what happened. Can I tell you what happened? That iron came up. I want you to notice, I just saw this this time around. And he showed him, the Bible says he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, here's what he said when the iron was swimming. Here's what he said to the good fella, take it up to thee. There it is, you get it. Responsibility. Responsibility. Personal responsibility on your part. There it is swimming. Pick it up. If he had never made an effort to pick it up, he had never got it, even though it's floating on the top. Pick it up. Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. He took it. I'm going to tell you, when God deals with your heart, if you're going on with God, if you're going to get back where you ought to be, when He deals with you, you better take it. That's right. That's why we have altar calls. The Spirit of God's dealing and moving in the hearts and lives of God's people. That's the time for you to do business with Him. That's it. You know what happened? He solved his problem. You know what else I think happened? He felled some more trees. He built a house. And the work, the problem he had was eventually solved, but not without problems. I wonder today, maybe somebody here, I don't know. I guess I may have been through a long time ago. I don't know, but I feel like I'm through right now. I want to ask you, have you been facing some problems? Is it dwelling problems? Have you started in the work and you've lost your cutting edge? Has God spoke to you? It really don't matter what I say. really and truly, it don't matter what I say. You can listen to any man other than the fact that I'm God's man. And if I have God's message, it's a message from the Lord to you. But as far as just me, it doesn't matter. But the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart. That's critical. That's critical this morning. We're going to sing. And Brother Allen, you and Sister King, come to the piano. And I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, just you and God. And I'm going to ask you to be honest with God. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It's your choice. God's dealing with your heart. You're going to have to reach out and take it. He ain't going to force it on you. God spoke to you this morning. Would you be obedient? Brother Allen, sing to us when you get ready.